Boys to Men came out with a song titled, A Song for Mama. So in 1997, I was thinking back, that was a long time ago, but I can remember the first time I heard that song, it made me think of my mother. And when you think about the lyrics, one of the key phrases in there is, Mama, you'll always be number one. When we understand that from the standpoint of what it means to have a mother, one who's loving and caring and compassionate, one who loves the Lord most importantly, we understand what it means for her to be number one in our lives. After all, she is the one who brought us into this world, and as my mother used to say, I can also take you out of it. But I'm thankful for my mother. I will be the first to tell you, as will my little brother who's 6'9", that we are mama's boys and we are not ashamed of it. We are extremely proud of that fact. But you know, one of the things I've always appreciated about my mother is that no matter where we are in this world, because I was a military brat, wherever mom was, that's where home was. And when I think about mother in relation to the mothers that we read about in the Bible, the godly mothers, obviously they understood of what it means to incorporate the idea of having a godly home. But we also read about mothers in the Bible who weren't godly mothers. But when we think about the idea of the definition, obviously, that God gives us within the pages of the Bible, I think we can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. And this is the first time that we see the word mother used. And here it says that Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living. Because she was, in fact, the first mother, but she would not be the last mother. And I think as we can look through the Bible and as I think about the word mother, to put it in an acrostic form, to think about it and break down some specific words that perhaps gives us a better definition of what a true mother is and what a mother should be, I hope this helps us to appreciate our mothers even more. Perhaps you're here tonight and your mother has already passed on. And I know that I think, you know, this sermon would have fallen on Mother's Day. But because we got a late start with the weather and some other things, it didn't happen that way. But it doesn't mean that we don't think about our mothers often. I think about my mother quite often. I call her for counsel. My mother now knows how to email, so that's really good. So we can communicate that way. And now that she has an iPad, she's really dangerous. But I'm appreciative of those things because I know one of these days my mother will be no more. But it's the things I know that she's taught me as I've grown up and the things that I see my wife instilling in our children. And mothers will be the first to tell you they're not perfect, right? But that they make mistakes. But it's by God's will and His grace and the gift of being a mother and the blessing that comes with that and the true responsibility of what it means to be a mother of a godly home, there's a lot that entails of what the word mother means. When I think of the word mother, I think about maturity. Because with having a child, and though we understand when children are born, they don't come with an instruction manual. Wouldn't that be great? They don't come with an instruction manual, and every child's different. But with the concept of what it means to be a godly mother, with that, one must be mature because it takes about a certain amount of maturity to be a mother. Because there are so many responsibilities that come with what it truly means to be a parent. You see, motherhood is not a part-time job. Being a mother requires a 24/7 commitment. And guess what? Even as your children get out of the house, you understand, as my mother even says, whenever I'm in her presence, this is my baby. Because they will truly always be your children, no matter how big they get, but you always have that responsibility. Because we live in a society where abuse and neglect are so common, and sometimes the word mother is tossed around so haphazardly, I'm surely blessed because I had a mother who never did that. And I think about what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 that I think also applies to what it means to be a mother of maturity, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because after all, isn't it a mother and a father's job to nurture and rear their children in the admonition of the Lord? Because of the great responsibility that comes with that? I put it in this way. Think about those individuals that live out in the world that never taught their children what it means to be a Christian. Those that never taught their children what it means to love God and to follow Him and to be faithful and to be the example they needed to be. Do you not think perhaps those parents will stand before God on the day of judgment to answer for the way that they raised their children, to know that they were responsible to teach them the way of righteousness? Absolutely. So when I think about the word mother and I think about M, I think about maturity. When I think about O, I think about obligation, because as parents and as mothers, they're obligated to take care of their children. Mother's obligation, first and foremost, is to their family, to their children, to their husband, but number one is to God. And if the obligation is there in the house, and the mother shows the obligation towards who the Father in heaven is, the children then follow many times in suit. Because after all, the mothers are the ones that are the example to teach the younger. First and foremost, they are obligated. I consider, you know, that these are the exact implications that Paul talks to Titus about in Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Paul wrote that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Notice the last part of that. Of all of these things that fall in line of what it means to be a mother who's obligated, it means that they do these things because in that, in being a godly mother, they're not going to blaspheme the Word of God. And how important that is, because mothers understand that that's the greatest gift that they can share with their children of what it means to be a mother who loves the Lord. I also think about the word T. When you think about the word T, I think many times I think about my mother and her tears for me and my brother. Now, sometimes those weren't always happy tears. Sometimes those were tears of frustration. Sometimes those were tears of joy. And sometimes those were tears of sadness and perhaps even tears of regret. But I think a good mother is going to experience tears as she's raising her child through the ups and downs of life. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that Mary cried when Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary. I mean, after all, here's your baby, your child that's being put forth to die upon a wooden cross for the sins of mankind. And then you think about what it says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 35, where she was told that a sword would pierce through her own soul also, knowing that through that the thoughts of men would be brought to bear, knowing that her son was going to be the Savior of the world, that she had to sit there and watch her own baby boy die. Mothers, can you imagine that? Can you imagine having to sit there and watch your child in agony and knowing what they're going through and that you can do absolutely nothing about it to help them? And I think about even how Jesus, in his moment of despair, as he looked down, as he looked at his half-brother and he said, "Here, you know, here's your mother. You need to take care of her now because I'm not going to be here anymore." So we can understand the bond that was there between Jesus and Mary, his mother. If we truly understand the bond, I know that I have a bond with my mother for which I'm extremely grateful that I can call and talk to her about anything. I can only think about the bond that Mary had with her son as he was dying on the cross of Calvary. I certainly would believe that Eve cried upon the death of her son Abel and upon the guilt of her son Cain as he did what he did to his own brother. Obviously, there are going to be times when a mother cries for their child, and there's times of joy. You know, I told myself, and this isn't about me, but I told myself when we dropped our oldest off at college that I wouldn't cry. Yeah, I cried like a baby. But Larissa cried the whole six-hour drive home. And it's obvious because you're taking your child and you're leaving them in the world. That's the scariest thing for any parent, but I think even more so for a mother because of the bond that they share with their children and the closeness that they have. Those tears were obviously good tears, but mothers are allowed to cry because there are tears of frustration and tears of joy and tears of happiness. But, you know, I also think about home. Again, like I said, you know, I traveled throughout this world, and many times when my brother and I, when my father would be stationed at a new duty station, my parents would get rid of us for the summer. And we would go stay with my grandparents in Louisiana throughout the entire summer. And then they would fly us back, wherever that might be. But I always knew, which I appreciated this, that I always knew whenever I got to wherever that new base was going to be and wherever our home was going to be, it was always going to be prepared and put together, and that was where home was. You see, it didn't matter if it was overseas in Guam or in Washington State or in North Carolina. Wherever it was, I knew that when we showed up, as long as Mama was there, Brethren, that's where home was. God does the same thing for us in relation to eternity, because Jesus said that He goes to prepare that place for us and where home is going to be. And I think mothers establish that in the fact of giving us the idea of what a true home is and that heavenly home. I think about Naomi, that she must have run a good home as devoted as her daughter-in-law Ruth was, and she ultimately provided a new home for Ruth and the legacy that she left. So when I think about the concept of what it means to be a mother is going to be one that prepares the home for her children. I always thought of home, too, where good cooking was. Mama was there, good cooking was going to be there, and I was happy. That's because that's what a mother is. A mother takes care of her babies. She looks after her family. She provides a home. But within the concept of what it means to have a home, brethren, we understand the four-wall concept and providing for our children and all of these things. But when we truly think about the home, is it a godly, scriptural, Christian home? Because if it's not, can we say we're truly doing our duties as parents? A mother understands that because that's what she wants her home to be. Ruth became ultimately the great-grandmother of David. Do you think she had a good example of what it meant to have a home that Naomi had prepared and showed Ruth? Yes, the example was there. So when you think about mother, obviously we think about how important the concept of home is. It's not where you hang your hat, it's where mama's at, right? So when you think about home, we think about mother. I also think about empathy. I think when God made women, He put that extra amount of empathy within them. I think God refined man when He made woman out of a rib from Adam, and He gave us this gift of what it means to be a mother and the feelings and the compassion and those things that come with that. Dads, I think you can sympathize with me with this. Because when our children get hurt, what's the first thing we say? Are you bleeding? Then you're fine. Go on. But when we're looking for empathy, who do we go to? We go to mama. If you want some compassion and a pat on the back and a feel good, you go to mama. You don't go to dad. Dad says, get over it, walk it off, you'll be fine tomorrow, you're not going to die. Because that's not the way that we're built. But that's the way that God made mothers. Mothers have empathy. Mothers have compassion. And that's the refinement. I think mother provides warmth and encouragement, emotional sympathy and support. And to a child, many times men either can't or they won't. And I think sometimes it's because God understood the roles that fathers and mothers play within a home in and of itself. You see, I think this empathetic spirit defines true motherhood. You think, you consider the words, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Not thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and where thou shalt be buried, the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me, Ruth said. Think about the example that this wasn't even Ruth's own biological mother. But Naomi left such an impact on her that she said, wherever you are, that's where I want to be. I want your God to be my God because of the compassion and the empathy that was shown towards Ruth. What an example that is. You know, I was blessed with many wonderful women in my life. You know, between my grandparents and my aunts, I had many wonderful women in my life that showed me what it truly meant to be empathetic and loving and compassionate. And I know not everybody's blessed that way. But, you know, I know there are even women that I've been, you know, older ladies that I've gotten close to as I've preached that treated me as their own son, that showed that warmth and empathy towards me, and I knew they themselves knew what it meant and understood to be a mother. You see, we have wonderful women right here that are mothers within this congregation, perhaps that we also can lean upon, that are our surrogate mothers, our church mothers sometimes, as we call them. I see many of the ladies here that other children run up to them and hug them. You think that's because they're getting candy? Probably not. It's probably because I see the warmth and the love that comes with the hug that the children receive. When I think about a mother, I think about empathy. Because women understand it, brethren, a lot better than we do. And I think that's the way that God designed it. But I also think about reward. But I was a little hesitant here, too, to put slash regret. Because when I think about the idea of reward, there are many trials and things that you go through in raising a child. Heartaches, stress, loss of sleep, loss of patience. But with that, the greatest reward I think that a mother has is to see that child put on Christ in baptism. Because in that, the true reward comes not in the fact that you know one day they'll get married, and that's a great reward. And you hope that your child is going to be taken care of or looked after or be successful in all these other things. But I think in all things that a mother's greatest reward is going to be that she knows that her baby is a Christian and they understand what it means to love the Lord and serve Him. I think that's a wonderful reward in and of itself. If a mother is mature and recognizes her obligations, she sheds tears over her children, she keeps the home, she practices an empathetic spirit towards her children, I think she's going to be rewarded by her children, who will, as the proverb writer says, her children arise up and call her blessed. And ultimately, for being the kind of servant that God says she ought to be. I think we're truly blessed to have women in our lives that are examples of what it means to understand the reward of eternity. I think, but there's also sometimes some regret. Perhaps it's a regret over a child who's turned away from the Lord Himself. And I've seen the tears of many a mother that they've shed over the loss of a child as they turned their back on God Himself and as they walked away from the church. I had a lady say to me one time, she said, "Larry, what did I do wrong?" As tears are flowing from her face. She said, "What is it that I did wrong and that I tried to give Him everything He needed as an example of what it meant to truly serve God?" She said, "Where did I fail as a parent?" I said, "Let me ask you this. If you think you failed as a parent, do you think God failed also?" No, He didn't. If you put everything you have into that child and you give them everything they need to nurture them and bring them up in the admonition of the Lord and show them what it truly means to follow Him, sometimes children take the wrong path. It doesn't mean that it's our fault as parents, but it doesn't mean that we stop loving them either, because God never stops loving us. Brethren, what a blessing it is to have women who love the Lord and who rear their children in such a way to show the importance of what it means to serve a loving God. How much beauty there is in the word mothers, if mothers would only allow that beauty to shine through, to be mature and obligated towards God, to shed tears sometimes, to create that home that God wants it to be empathetic towards their children, but most importantly, to understand the reward that comes with rearing a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Thank you, mothers, for what you do. I know perhaps we only look at one day a year, and that was a few weeks ago, but I can tell you this, you deserve every day of every year. And I was thankful for the mother that I had and the example that she was to me. Thankful for my wife as well and the example that she is to our children. And tonight I'm thankful for you and the example that you are to yours. And if your mother's gone on, say a prayer and the type of woman that she was as she was rearing you in your home, and to thank God for the time that you had with her. I hope that time never comes for me, though I understand that it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. That time will be here, and I will probably blubber like a baby. But I know this, that I was blessed. If you're here tonight, and you understand what it means to love God because of the example that you have in your life, but you haven't quite made that decision tonight, I hope you do. I hope you make the decision to repent of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ with the mouth. Confession is made into salvation, as we talked about this morning, and putting that puzzle together, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And I finally hope tonight that you'll put on your Lord in baptism, Acts 2:38. If you're here tonight and your mother's present, I'm pretty sure that she's going to be ecstatic over that. And if you're here tonight and maybe you've strayed, maybe you need prayers, maybe you need encouragement, because we all fall and we all stumble and we all go through hardships, we want to pray with you because we love you. So if we can help you, please come as together we stand and as we sing. Thank you.
270. 270.